There is no generation of men, there is no race of men, at any time, in the past, present, or future, that can escape having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Hebrews 4:13, we read these words, and I quote them, "All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Friend, if you only knew him, you knew his love, his grace, oh, you would want to do with him right now. And you would love him. Today I would desire to draw your attention to him. The perfect servant of Jehovah is who he is. And he's presented to us as that in this wonderful Gospel of Mark. Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. Unlike Matthew and Luke, Mark does not begin with the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, but begins with his entrance upon his public ministry of 3.5 years. Wonderful years indeed. Years that began with his baptism by John the Baptist and closed with his ascension into heaven from whence he came and where he is today. The key verse of the Gospel of Mark is found in chapter 10, verse 45. It is this, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The key word is translated immediately, or straightway, and forthwith, and it indicates the character of his service that he rendered, a service rendered in perfect obedience to his Father's will. And it evidences also his divine power to accomplish his works without delay. It's my desire to bring my listeners in touch with this blessed person today, the servant of Jehovah. Now, as he met the needs of men when he was here, he alone can and is willing to meet the needs of men today, your need. The miracles he performed showed his mercy upon his creatures whom he loved, whom sin had ruined, and also the miracles that he did show that he, in performing the physical miracles, had power to perform the far greater spiritual miracle of the forgiveness of man's sins, and to bestow upon sinful man dead in sins his gift of eternal life in new creation. This, dear friend, is the message that he wishes to convey to you through his word. The Son of Man has come. He has given himself to pay the ransom price that your sins demanded. He wants you to be included in the many who have already put their trust in him. And he wants to serve you now by saving you by his marvelous grace and work which he accomplished at Calvary. He wants to keep you now by his almighty power and grace. And he wants to finally bring you to himself in the glory to the Father's house. Will you consider this? Today is a wonderful opportunity for you. Now is the day of salvation. Let us notice the first few verses of the first chapter of Mark. The writer introduces us immediately to the gospel. No, the gospel means good news. And he hastens to link this with Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the theme of the gospel. It's about a person. It's not about a church. It's not about some doctrine, although it includes many wonderful doctrines, but it's the person of Jesus Christ. And immediately, Mark marks him out as the Son of God. Now, this is the basis of God's good news to man. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was here in the world, is the Son of God. Does my listener know him as that? Do you know him as the one who is God manifest in flesh? The one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell when he was here? The one whom John declared to be the eternal Word who became flesh and dwelt among us? And he goes on to say, "We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, that's what he is. And then, following this, There is recorded briefly the service of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist. And this is in fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures concerning him. It's marvelous how we see prophecy fulfilled. Beginning at verse 2, we read, "As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. He did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. This is John's testimony. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Now, John's ministry was one intended to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of Christ. The nation of Israel needed to be called to repentance. And John's baptism unto repentance was in view of their accepting the Son of God, who alone could forgive their sins. They had to be brought to repentance. They had to acknowledge that they were wrong. Notice John's witness to Christ. Marvelous to read when he says here, There cometh one mightier than I after me. John testifies to Christ's power, his might. He's the Almighty. He knew that he was the Almighty God. Also, John witnesses to Christ's worth. He says, Ah, he has shoes that I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. John knew that there was only one who was worthy. He was the worthy one, the one whom he came to herald. And then he gives witness to Christ's work. He spells it out when he says, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. Of course, this took place after Christ's death and resurrection and ascension. And it was consequent upon the Savior finishing the work of redemption. It was on the day of Pentecost that this was fulfilled. This was when the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. This marked the beginning of the church. Well, John speaks of this and anticipating it. But now, let us turn our attention to the Father's commendation of the Son. Notice what he says. As John had baptized the Lord, and the Lord was coming out of the water, straightway we read, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God, like a dove, descended upon him. And here we have, from heaven, a voice saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Notice this. Here he is, the Father, acclaiming the pleasure that he had in his only begotten Son. A marvelous thing. We might say, well, why was the Lord baptized? It's a good question. Certainly he did not have any need of forgiving any of his sins because he had none. He was baptized because, dear friend, he was going to identify himself with a sinful nation to be the substitute for sinners. Just think of the grace that is implied in this. The blessed Savior, the Holy One who knew no sin, had come into the world to be the sin-bearer. And here we see him taking his place as a sinner. Think of it. One who knew no sin, in whom was no sin, and who did no sin. But grace brings him there. What love. Is there any wonder that we have the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son? In fact, it's more direct. He speaks to him. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I have found my delight. Let us consider this for a moment. Here, after 4,000 years of man's history, was the man Christ Jesus. He is proclaimed by the Father as the one with whom he was well pleased. All other men, the best of them, including Abraham, Moses, and David, had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none could therefore, you see, accomplish the Father's purpose of bringing salvation to sinful men. And so God sent his own Son to be the Savior of the world. Holiness, that is, absolute absence of sin, was inherently found only in him. He was the sinless, spotless Son of God become flesh. And only such could settle the sin question to the glory of God. And it had to be settled by a sacrifice of perfection, without spot or blemish. This is what God's holiness and righteousness demanded. Oh, just think of the love of God, which conceived the plan to send his well-beloved Son to bear away the sin of the world. He sent him here to be despised and rejected by men, and to be judged by God as the substitute for sinful men whom God loved. And friend, this is the proof that God loves you. No one could be found to put away your sins, and you could not put away your own sin. God himself could righteously and only righteously set you free by the sacrifice of his own provision. And he has provided a Savior for you in his Son, his servant, the one who came to serve him, who always did his will, and the one who wants to serve you. And he has served you. Yes, he's done all that's necessary to save your soul, and he wants to make that good to you. Christ died for you. Christ died for your sins. How we love to sing, Lord, e'en to death, thy love could go, a death of shame and loss, to vanquish for us every foe and break the strong man's force. Now, following the Father's acclamation of him, we read in verse 12, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and angels ministered unto him. Now, here in Mark's brief account of our Lord's temptation, we find a contrast in the surroundings to the time when our first parents were tempted by Satan, and they fell to his temptation. They weren't in the wilderness. They were in a garden with everything pleasant. And he came to them. He deceived our first mother. And Adam went into sin with his eyes wide open. But here, the Lord Jesus is in a wilderness, no garden. There were wild beasts here, not those as in the time of Adam that he had named as they all came before him. There was no sin manifested then. There it was man in innocency. But what did he do? He disobeyed God. But here, it's the second man, the last Adam, in holiness. And here he is proving himself to be the one unique person, God and man in one person, proving that he was the one capable of overcoming Satan and all his wiles and power. And this he did. Satan could not move him. Why? The Lord Jesus is the perfect man, the perfect servant, the dependent one, was in perfect obedience to his Father. And he did not do one thing apart from direction from his Father. His Father's direction was found in the Word. He went by the Word. He acted on the authority of the Word of God. And you know that word that he used in those three distinct forms of temptation that he suffered at the hands of Satan, he used a verse in the book of Deuteronomy to silence and defeat the foe. But this, you see, proved that our blessed Lord, the servant, the Son of Man, was God's provision capable of meeting the foe, your foe, my foe, sin and Satan, and to accomplish a redemption that would deliver us completely. Oh, what a Savior! What a servant! He has delivered everyone that puts their trust in him, and he's still able to deliver. Now, John the Baptist's ministry is over. You see, he was here, he did his work, appointed him, and now we see him in prison. His work was done when he introduced the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to his ministry here on earth. So John's in prison, and Jesus now comes forth, and what's he doing? We read that in verse 14, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What a wonderful thing to contemplate. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that babe that was born in Bethlehem, that grew up as a lad, that worked as a carpenter, now he comes forth, the blessed Son of God, as the preacher of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. Dear friend, you have to do with this one. He wants to do with you in the gospel. He wants to bring you into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ has just what you need to bring you into the kingdom of God. He wants you to know of it through the gospel, the good news. The good news is that grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ and is proclaimed to you today. To all men, law had condemned all men, had proven all men to be guilty. It had done its work by the law of the knowledge of sin. It proved not only the Jewish nation to be guilty and helpless, but we read in Romans 3 that every mouth was stopped and the whole world is found guilty before God. And so then when the fullness of the time was come, the trial under law was fulfilled, and God sent forth his Son come of a woman, and Christ Jesus came, bringing what men needed, what the law revealed that they needed. Man could not be saved by law. He needed grace. He needed truth. And this grace and truth has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's available to Jews and Gentiles alike. Everyone, every nation, every generation, every race of men under heaven need the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. What did he preach? He said, repent and believe the gospel. The message is no different today. Repentance is simply accepting what God says against you as to your guilt, and you bow to his sentence. And in sorrow, you turn to him in confession. Believing the gospel, what is it? It's putting your trust in him who came into the world and gave his life for you at Calvary. This one, in the 3.5 years that he was here ministering, showed without a doubt who he was. And at the end of his earthly ministry, he fulfilled the mission for which he came. And what was that? To give his life a ransom for you. This, dear friend, is what he has done. To receive him is all that you need to receive the benefits of the salvation that he now offers. It's imperative that you receive him now as your Savior. Repent and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's love and power. And then shall your final answer be saved through a long eternity. May God bless his word to every listener today. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee for thy servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has finished the work thou gavest him to do, and who now serves all who will put their trust in him by bringing them into relationship with thee into the kingdom of God, forgiving their sins and bestowing eternal life. Awaken in each heart a sense of their need of him, we pray. And grant thy blessing on the word today in Jesus' name and for his sake, we ask it all.